McNabb stepping in for the Knights. He scores! Walked right out in front, and Braden McNabb, you read his lips, he just said wow himself. Eakin on the right side wall, coming up to the slot. Lots of room, Eakin shoots and scores! Second goal of the game for Cody Eakin. Right circle, Schmidt threw it across the net, map. In front, stop, another try, score! Tatar! Reeves in the right side to the right circle, centering feed, a shot, they score! Belmar fires from between the circles. Marchessault peels off on the right wing near side. To the slot, he shoots, he scores! Marchessault! 4-3 Knights! Vegas wins in overtime!
And welcome in. Good Wednesday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Hernish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman joining in us as well. Lots to get to here today on the show as we are getting ready to find out who our opponent will be in the Western Conference Finals. Wow, does that sound nice to say? But guys, a busy day today, and a special guest coming up as well, Clayton.
Yeah, we got General Manager George McPhee is going to be with us in just a moment, so we want to make sure we get to that and don't waste any of his precious time.
Right, and we had a chance to talk to some of the players out at City National Arena today as well, so we'll get you some of those interviews. But let's jump right on it because this man's very busy, and we truly appreciate the time. Joining us now on the Southern Hills Baptist Church phone line is General Manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, George McPhee. Experience life change at SouthernHillsLV.com. George, thank you very much for making time for us, and how you doing? I would imagine things are pretty well right now in your world.
Yeah, they sure are. Things are going well for your club. Everything else seems to be going well. Got some sleep the last couple nights, and just finished some amateur scouting meetings, so all is good.
So, George, one of the questions that I had for you kind of going into this is, you've talked at length about the mock drafts that you did leading up to the expansion draft, and I'm just curious, how different did some of those mock drafts, the earlier ones, maybe the ones closer to the expansion draft, how different were those rosters from the roster that you ended up selecting at the expansion draft?
They changed a lot over time. There were certainly players that had good years and players that didn't have good years. And then as we got more precise and more familiar with the teams, the list changed. To do one in October was not easy because our staff was new and they just, they hadn't seen enough games yet, but we had to sort of go through that first one just to become facile with the rules more than anything. And then as our guys sharpened their pencils and had more viewings, their opinions on players changed, and so that first cut versus the last cut, there was a big change.
George, I want to go back to that night of the expansion draft, and after that night was over, it seemed like the narrative all around the media and the NHL and the hockey world in general, it seemed like a lot of people were saying, what are the Vegas Golden Knights doing? They took way too many defensemen out there. What are they going to do with all of them? They have to make some trades. Does George McPhee blink first, or do the other teams blink for looking for somebody? Do you feel vindicated the way the season played out and everything? Because essentially every single one of those guys you took that the so-called experts said was way too many all played a part in the success of this team this season.
I don't know that I feel vindicated. I thought we did a real good job, and what people outside of our group have to say doesn't really matter. I didn't hear it. I wasn't aware of it and didn't really care. And I'm not trying to be flippant, but we put a whole year into it. We were happy with what we had accomplished. We did it the way we thought it should be done, and we kept our we had our fingers crossed, hoping it would work out, and it's worked out. We got a competitive team and surplus draft picks, which was the two objectives when we went into the expansion draft.
And George, when you look at the way that played out, there were a number of extra picks that were involved. There were some extra players. You think about guys like Alex Tuch and Shea Theodore and Riley Smith being add-ons and deals that were made on the side. How many of those sort of deals did you go into it going in saying, I have to get this side deal done? Or versus how many of them were you saying, hey, you know what, if we can't get the deal done, I'm comfortable taking another player?
Well, we had identified 9 teams that we thought should be doing deals with us. And so we really focused on that. And we got 8 deals done out of the 9. And so that went pretty well for us. And we just tried to be reasonable in our deals. We weren't trying to squeeze anyone. We did have leverage, but it wouldn't take much for a team to make one move, and then our whole, you know, mosaic changes. And Tampa was a good example. You know, they had a couple of good players exposed. They made one trade where they traded Drouin for Sergachev. So they ship out a guy that had to be protected, and they bring in a guy that didn't require protection, and it changes things. So our approach was try to be reasonable. Do the best deals we can. If we're happy with what we have, let's do it and move along. And so that's basically how it worked. And again, I think it worked well. We accomplished, you know, getting a competitive club, and we have a lot of picks for the future.
You know, in looking at kind of those side deals, how much do you expect the landscape to change maybe the next go-around with expansion, given how much success the Vegas Golden Knights had year one?
Yeah, I haven't put a lot of thought into that, to be quite honest with you. You know, whatever that group decides to do, they're going to do, and they may have different strategies than we had. But I thought we did some very good things, some real clever things in the way that we approached it, and it really worked for us. It may not work for them, or it may work better for them. I don't know how they're going to approach it. I do know that most of the clubs will be, you know, through their experience of the last one, they may approach things differently.
Vegas Golden Knights General Manager George McPhee joining us here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. George, one thing that I found really interesting during the course of the season, after the expansion draft, we saw everybody out there talking and making their preseason predictions, and we heard over and over again that Vegas would be challenging Arizona and, ironically and kind of funny enough, Colorado at that time from a lot of people's mind for some of the worst teams in the league and who's going to get the most ping-pong balls and the chance at the number one draft pick next year and that. How did it change from it's going to be a historically bad team to it's an unfair advantage and it was set up for Vegas to succeed? And did you see right off the bat when you saw the rules for the expansion draft that, you know what, I got a chance to do something kind of special here?
Well, actually, I didn't like the rules when I saw them initially. I was concerned that, I'd heard all kinds of great things about how good the rules were going to be. And then when I actually got to when I was hired and got to go through the rules, I didn't think that they were going to be good enough. But I thought that we sort of compensated. They turned out to be good rules, but we came up with some strategies that worked for us in the way we approached the expansion draft and certain teams that made it pay off for us. But you know, that said, even when we picked the team, we were hoping we'd have a competitive team. I thought that we all felt really good that the morning that we sent the expansion list in. You guys were talking about the show that night. You know, the draft had already happened, and we had to have it in at 7 in the morning, and then we held back and had the show that night. But we felt pretty good that morning, but as I said, we needed every minute of that year because we got the list in about 10 to 7 in the morning, and it was due in at 7. But we felt good, and then, you know, we came to training camp and tried to make it a team. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history. They took off, and they've been pretty good, darn good all year long.
You know, one of the early challenges that you guys, this organization, had to navigate through was Vadim Shipachev and that entire situation. How would you say your decision to kind of cut ties with Vadim shaped the culture of Vegas Golden Knights hockey?
Well, I think it helped. And again, that was an observation that didn't come from me. It came from a coach of another team that I was talking to just before the midpoint of the season. He said, I thought that move that you made with that player sent a message to your entire organization that it doesn't matter what your contract is. Doesn't matter, you know, whether you were traded for or claimed an expansion or were never drafted or have a big contract or don't have a big contract. It's going to be on who deserves to be here in terms of whether you make this club or not. And, you know, that was one example of it. He had a big contract. It wasn't working out. Other players had outperformed him in training camp. And then we had Tuck and Theodore, who had really good camps. And I didn't know whether they were going to make the team in the summer, but they played well enough to be on the team, so we had to make some room for them. And the right messages were sent. It didn't hurt that a lot of guys came here wondering whether they'd even make the team or not, but they held up their end of the bargain and came here and competed. And we were straight with them and basically said, if you deserve to be here, you're going to be here. That's all there is to it.
You know, another thing that was really crucial this season was you mentioned how after that expansion draft night and you put in the roster and that you had a pretty good feeling, but you weren't afraid to make moves like that with Vadim, but also adding some players here and there that you thought could maybe help. Somebody like a Malcolm Subban, who you weren't afraid to bring him on board because you saw something in him. Ryan Carpenter, Tomas Tatar, Ryan Reeves, certainly. So even though you had a nice thing in place, what made the additions that you did, you looked at these guys and said, you know what, we're looking at a certain concept and everything here, but we think these pieces will also be a nice fit to maybe even go above what we originally thought we could?
Well, we really thought Subban had some exceptional talent, and that if we could ever get into his head and figure out how he thinks about the game and how he likes to be coached and everything else, that maybe we could really develop a good goaltender. And so when he was available, we claimed him. Ryan Carpenter, we were aware of him, we liked him, or we were getting a little thin, and we claimed him. It took him a while to get him in the lineup, but we thought he could help. And again, with all the players, we really like the personalities of Subban, Carpenter, Tatar, Reeves, and they're all going to show up at different times in the season or in the playoffs and contribute. And I felt, you know, at the deadline, we needed to add a couple more bodies. We liked our team. We liked the way they were playing, but we had some injuries. Some guys were out of the lineup, and we had guys who were playing injured, and I felt we had to add a few more bodies to get us through the rest of the season to make sure we make the playoffs, because it can unravel in a hurry, and we saw that happen with a couple of clubs. We didn't want it to happen to us. So these guys have been great, whether they're in the lineup or not. They're good teammates, positive attitudes, no whining, and when they go in, they play really well for us.
You've talked about kind of the group in the room and how special these guys have been from day one. How important was it for you when looking to bring in, say, a Ryan Reeves or a Tomas Tatar, to not really take much away from the nucleus of what's inside the room?
Well, we couldn't do that, and we weren't going to take anything out of the team. You know, we didn't want to dismantle it. But the personalities coming in had to be the right personalities, not just the players, but the personality of those players mattered, because we put so much effort into vetting the team that we claimed an expansion that we had, you know, we also had to, you know, if we're going to add to it, they have to be good people. It's a real strength of our team and our organization that, you know, it's a low ego group that we've worked really hard to find the best human talent we can find in terms of skill, but also personalities, and it's an intangible that really matters. You can see certain skills, you can see certain things, but there are intangibles like character and leadership and integrity and things of that nature that really matter. And it's been a driving force behind this team.
Now, you mentioned the other day at your press conference that maybe some of those guys had a little bit of a hard time kind of adjusting, whether it be on the ice, to the lineup. Why do you think that is? Why is it maybe a little bit more difficult for some guys to come in here and adjust for other guys?
Well, the integration is important, but it's It's difficult for most players that come at a trading deadline. It's late in the season. This team's been together for 6 months, and all of a sudden there's a new player in the locker room. So it's not an easy assimilation. And, you know, we really liked our team, and we didn't want to disrupt it. We didn't want to take anything out of it. But I felt that we needed to add, and so did the rest of our staff. So we added some guys that that we thought would work. But knowing what this team had been through for 6 months, knowing what they had been through on October 1 and all their efforts since, that it might be a little difficult integrating. But these players have done it well.
George, we know that there is certainly still work to do this season, but we've seen your willingness to look forward to next year, really from the beginning of the season, with the extensions to Braden McNabb, to John Merrill, to Jonathan Marchessault. How much of your plan for this offseason has been fluid throughout the course of the year, and maybe you're looking to do some things that you hadn't planned on doing in October with this team for next year that you're planning to do now?
Well, as you know, when we made all the selections in the expansion draft, we picked a pretty young team. So it was obvious to us on the inside that, you know, we wanted a younger team, a team that we could develop and have players here for the long haul. And so once we got to know them a little bit, we started going to various players and saying, if you like it here, we like you, we can do an extension. So as a manager, you have to be doing those sorts of things. You know, you're going to have to do contracts every summer. I didn't want too many to have to do this summer. I didn't want to have to do 15. So we got some out of the way and got deals that work for us and work for the player, and we'll get others done in the summer. But it's the manager's job to sort of stay current with the team, but look ahead a little bit too. And so, you know, you juggle that all year long and try to do what's best for now and for the future.
You know, in looking ahead to the future, in sustainability, obviously a 109-point season, 8 wins away from the Stanley Cup, how do you manage sustaining and even building upon the success of the first year, whether it be with contract extensions, whether it be with maybe looking at players to come in? How do you manage that?
Well, it's the same challenge that you have every year at the end of the season, and that is, how do we get better for next year? You know, whenever the season ends, you do analysis for a couple of days, and then everything you do from that point out is to make the team better for the next year. So when we're done here, we will sit down and say, okay, how do we make them better? And you make decisions and hope they all work. They usually don't. If most of them work, you're in a good place. So we'll get at it whenever this ends and do what we have to do to try and make them better. That's the challenge every year, and that's the beauty of being in professional sports. You're challenged all the time to win, and you're challenged to improve.
Vegas Golden Knights General Manager George McPhee joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. George, what does your offseason, and I know that we hope that's not for a while yet, but what does the offseason for you look like? Because it's certainly not an offseason. How do you even schedule yourself for the time, because you've got the draft coming up here, you have a lot of contracts like you mentioned that you have to look at. One of the things about success is everybody wants to stay on a team, but everybody wants to be paid a little bit different. And now maybe a problem that's a good problem to have, but maybe you didn't see originally in this, was this looks like a way more viable destination for a lot of potential free agents or people. I have a feeling that some agents are going to be calling you asking about the possibility of bringing their clients here to Las Vegas and playing for the Golden Knights.
Well, you always want to be a destination. You want to be a desirable organization to play for, because the team is good and the organization is good, and it sure doesn't hurt that you live in a great place with great fans, great people, great weather. So that's not a bad thing. And, you know, in terms of scheduling things, you know, it's a lot of work. It never seems to slow down. There's a little bit of a break in August, but we chip away things all year long. We finished pro meetings last week. We finished amateur meetings today. So we're on top of the pro department. We're on top of the entry draft. And then, you just get into things. You have the combine to go to. You have the draft to go to. You deal with free agency. Then you have your development camp. It gets busy, but that's okay. We enjoy what we're doing, and we've done this, enough. We have a lot of experienced people here that have done this in other organizations that we're on top of it, and we're going to do our very best to keep this organization on top.
When you talk about the organization being on top for a while, we had Nick Suzuki, Nick Hague, Cody Glass in here in the studio with us yesterday. And one of the most impressive things about Nick Suzuki and Cody Glass were that here's two guys in the first round, could be rivals, could be looking at each other as competition, and they're best of friends. They understand, Cody Glass does, that he's going to need Nick Suzuki to be good for the next 15 years. Same with Nick. So when you're looking at young players, how important is that box to check against the other metrics of skating, stick handling, shooting, of their character, and how do you go about getting it right with somebody that's 17 years old?
Well, it's every bit as important as the guys that we've added to come here from expansion. You have to have high-quality people, real character people, to win in the sport. You don't win in this game with bad people. That doesn't happen. You need quality individuals that know how to play the game, that play hard, that commit to everything, and respect their opponents, respect their referees, respect their coaching staff, respect their teammates. And so they have to be high quality people, as I said, and be embedded in this community and help out here. And how we do that, we interview them a lot, we talk to them a lot, we talk to people around them a lot, try to meet their parents, try to talk to their school teachers, talk to their coaches. As I said, it's a lot of work, but we do it all year long, so that we know when we make those selections what we're getting. And we move heaven and earth to know as much as we can about these players.
How valuable and how important is it to those guys and some of the other youngsters that are in town right now? Although they're not part of the team, they're still around the organization and seeing these guys in the playoff run and that. And then some of them had a chance to play with the Chicago Wolves and get a little bit of playoff experience. A couple of them are trying to make the junior national teams and that. How valuable is all that kind of stuff in these guys becoming the future NHL players that you think that they can become?
Well, what we're trying to do is expedite their development, and it's to be going this deep into the playoffs provides us opportunities to bring them in and work with them, skate them every day, get them in the gym, show them what it takes, and have them be around the pros, because they learn more by example than in any other way. They're watching how the big boys train and take care of themselves and eat right and the commitment level. And it's an eye-opener for these young guys. They all think they know how to train. They all think they're working hard. They have no idea until they get to this level to really know what it takes. So this is a great opportunity for us to get to know them even more, for them to know us even more, to get a head start in all the training. We've got 7 or 8 weeks, 8 weeks until development camp. We want them to be more developed than they are now. And so it's a great opportunity to work with them and expedite things. And, that work that Nick Hague had in the American Hockey League has really made him a better hockey player. He was getting away with things in junior that he doesn't get away with at the American League level. He learned that quickly. And he's probably a 20% better hockey player now for having spent that month in the American League than he was before he went there. And it's going to make him better in our training camp next fall.
Yeah, it was also really nice to hear him give a lot of credit to Jason Garrison and some of the guys down there helping him become better as well. George, we truly appreciate the time. I know you're a very busy man, but love it whenever you get a chance to join us. And I know that this team has been exceptional, and we hope that it goes all the way up to the Stanley Cup. But, you know, a lot of players deserve a lot of credit, and Gerard Gallant will win the Jack Adams, rightfully so. But I'll tell you what, there's not a better GM in the league than the job you've done this year as well. And you deserve all the credit that you've been getting as well, and we really appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you for saying that, and I'll join you guys anytime. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, George McPhee there. And boy, what a classy guy, and, you know, kind of soft-spoken in that sometimes a little bit, but when he talks, you know, like the old commercial, when they talk, people listen. You better listen, because this guy knows what he has to say. And I know they call themselves the Golden Misfits, and everybody's had a chip on their shoulder. George McPhee had a little bit of chip on his shoulder as well, because he thought that his work wasn't done in Washington. He wanted to get back in. He came into this situation, and what an unbelievable job he has done.
Unbelievable job, and certainly thanks to him, to Sage. Sage Sammons, Eric Tosi, Alyssa Girardi, all the people over there that make a connection like this possible, because he's one of the busiest guys in all of hockey. And we think about, oh, well, the playoffs are here, the trade deadline's passed, everything is done for him. Not so. Not only is he looking at the draft in this summer, but he's looking at contracts 2, 3, 4 years down the line. He's looking at sending people to go scout that are 14, 15 years old all over Europe. And so we appreciate him anytime we can get a couple of minutes out of him.
Yeah, guys like Will Nickel on that, who are handling some of that stuff. So,
9 teams that he targeted, and he got 8 deals done. That, to me, answered pretty much every question that I had as far as where the mock drafts were and who drove the bus on acquiring those extra players in those side deals. I think knowing that information just gives you a greater appreciation for what George McPhee was able to do at the expansion draft and which buttons he's been able to press this entire time as general manager of this organization.
88% success rate. That's not bad. 88%.
Especially when you consider like where the side deals came from.
Yeah, exactly.
Who the players are that are now a part of this team. And you look at guys like William Karlsson and you say, that's McPhee right there.
The 88%, I think that's better than Martin Jones' save percentage in that last series, isn't it?
It's very close. Yeah, very close.
Definitely better than Andy Nemeth was. All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. By the way, once again, we would like to thank George very much for his time. And to Sage and Eric, who were probably thinking we went a little bit long, but let's face it, we could have kept him the whole hour here, but I kept it in the back of my mind here. And all right, 2 more questions. Let's go. Let's wrap this up. But you know what? But no, I mean, great job there. And just, it's been such a pleasure covering this team. When we come back, well, we had a chance to cover them again this morning over at City National Arena. We'll get you some interviews that we had, try to look at a little bit of news and other things as well. It's been a lot of fun, and the ride is far from over, friends. It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Frank Hernish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman, the whole Vegas Golden Knights Insider crew here. And Clayton, we got a new sponsor, and we're mighty excited about it.
Yeah, not just a new sponsor, but a little new technology for us. We now have a text line, so you can always feel free to interact with the show via the text line, brought to you by Southern Hills Baptist Church, where inspiring music, helpful teaching, and friendly people will always make you feel welcome. Just text us 69187, preface with Fox. It'll come straight to us. So if you have reaction to George McPhee, let us know what's on your mind. But thanks to Southern Hills Baptist Church for hooking us up with the text line.
And some good stuff there from George, I thought. I mean, he's a GM. He's not going to tell you everything, but he was very cordial. He was informative, and you know, he said a couple of things that I'm not really sure that we heard before.
No, I think there were a couple of tidbits there. I like that he kind of said that I think some other GMs are going to view the expansion process a little bit differently next year. And while he wasn't trying to, you know, pull the wool over anybody's eyes or fleece anybody, the argument is that he did to quite a few franchises, and now we know that those were franchises that were targeted and not just some things that materialized out of other people's fear of losing a particular player.
I just wonder which one of those deals garnered the biggest high five between he and Kelly McCrimmon.
My God, there's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many of those.
The one they thought that was like, oh, I didn't think we could pull that one off. I can't believe we just pulled that one off.
Like, well, you know the other thing that I wonder? What's the one team that didn't deal? 8 of the 9 did.
I think it was Tampa.
Maybe, though he was talking about Tampa there in this stuff, saying that he did some stuff with them. So I don't, you know what? We're never going to know. But yeah, you know what? Not the greatest save percentage, 8 out of 9. but a really good deal percentage.
88.8.
I'll take that percentage all day.
Absolutely.
And what I really like too, something he had said about looking forward to the future. I like that he is willing to make an extension or do a contract during the season. We see so many GMs that are like, only during the offseason. Once the season gets here, we're not going to do that. But I think just the commitment that they made to guys like Jonathan Marchessault, to Braden McNabb, to John Merrill, and that confidence that it gave those players during the course of the season, it was a tremendous opportunity to make them better and to do the deal during the season, I thought went perfectly.
Yeah, and don't discount the fact that he said he didn't want to have to do a lot of contracts this summer. He didn't want to do 15, so maybe take a look at the deals he's already made and take a look at how many deals he just mentioned possibly making over the summer. And that should give you an idea of potentially how many deals he's looking to make over this summer and maybe pencil in a couple of guys here and there.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, too, how much his phone's going to be ringing that he doesn't even realize yet from other agents and that saying, hey, my player, you know, he's looking around a little bit and, you know, some of his friends in Vegas and that have told him what a great thing it is. And he had a great time when he came to T-Mobile and played against the Golden Knights. This is going to be a destination. You know, I know there's a lot of teams out there and you look at the Edmonton Oilers and the Ottawa Senators who last year were right in the hunt for the Stanley Cup and weren't close to making the playoffs this year. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and make it sound like I'm just going to take everything for granted because we know how difficult it is. We mentioned yesterday how the Washington Capitals going to the first Eastern Conference Finals in 20 years, but this could be a special place, and they could sustain this with the leadership they have right now for a long, long time, or at least for a pretty consistent basis. And one of the keys, I think, is also that George McPhee and Gerard Gallant have a great relationship that not every GM and coach have, in that their egos, what did Gerard say when they first announced him as coach? George picks the players, and I try to win with them. They don't step on each other's toes. They let each guy do their job.
No, absolutely, and, you know, It works out when all of the right moves are being made. Obviously, Gerard is pulling all of the right buttons. He's making sure that every single decision that he's making is working. Now, what happens when it doesn't? How difficult is it going to be for George McPhee to maybe not step in and say, hey, I gave up 3 draft picks for Tomáš Tatar. He should be in the lineup. Like, if they start losing, does that ever happen? And if it does, is there going to be conflict there? If they can truly maintain, I pick the players, you coach the players, and that's that, then I think their relationship is going to be fine for quite a while. But if George McPhee starts to see maybe a guy that he gave up something for or a guy that he brought in with high expectations, if he isn't working out and he doesn't agree with how Gallant is using that player, then you might see some issues. I don't think that that's happening anytime soon, but you can see that maybe it does in the future if things don't go the right way.
Yeah, and I agree with you there, too. And, hopefully we won't find that, but I'm sure at some point we will. But we'll see how that plays out. But right now, everything is working way better than people ever thought possible. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. You know, one of the other things that's really cool is when we get to talk to the players and we get to watch them skate every day. And on the ice today, there was a couple guys kind of pushing around a little bit and doing some stuff, and Chris Chapman had a chance to talk to one of those gentlemen out there, and it's just good horseplay because these guys really do get along. But Jonathan Marchessault was out there, and Chris got a chance to talk with him and asked him about the upcoming series against Winnipeg or Nashville, and if it was maybe a disadvantage when you have to face what is right now still an unknown opponent.
I wouldn't say disadvantage. I think it's an advantage, especially if further in the playoff. I think the more rest you get, the better it is. And it doesn't matter who we face. I mean, it's just a time that we look ourselves in the mirror and play it right away, and that's the only thing that matters.
Have you ever been part of a team that's just got this next man up mentality where it doesn't seem to matter who coach puts in, they contribute and help the team win?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of depth on our team, and I think that we take a lot of pride to that. And like everybody that got the call and to be in the lineup, they did unbelievable. So really happy for our team overall. And I mean, it was good playoffs.
And as far as the expectation level at this point, I mean, the city, have you ever seen the city embrace a team the way this city is embracing the Golden Knights? Because I've lived there 20 years and I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I was in Tampa when they went to the Cup and to the semifinals, and it's definitely a hockey town there. It was unbelievable my time there, but never as good of an experience as it is right now. I mean, it's just been a real treat for us as players and organization, and definitely want to keep the train rolling.
Real quick, I saw you and Luca. You guys are having a little fun, maybe, you know, a little wrestling or something out on the ice. What were you guys saying out there?
Oh, just like have fun, like just chirp chatter, keep everybody honest. And I mean, it's just it's a great time of the year, and definitely we're loose out there, and we want to have fun.
And they definitely did look like they were having fun out there. And I don't know if you guys saw that, but I noticed it, and obviously Chris did as well. And, you know, it's kind of like they were grabbing each other, like fake fighting or something like that, and we were trying to figure out what they were talking about. Well, we're about to find that out in a minute or so, but, you know, it's good. And, like, even yesterday, when they did the little the quarter ice thing or whatever, where they set up the nets, the two-on-two net, you know, I know a couple people in the media were like, what is this stuff here? What's going on? It's like, look, they're going into their 100th game of the season. You need new stuff to spice up things and make it happy and make it fun and everything out there. I thought that was awesome with the two-on-two yesterday.
No, you got to keep it loose. You only had 11 guys on the ice. You had Max Lagasse out there. Marc-Andre Fleury had a day off. And you get the blood flowing. You go out there. You get a little bit of a different look. You were still skating. There was still a lot of intense skating going on. So it was actually probably better from that perspective, because they were skating in shifts about equal length to what they would do in a game. So it was fine. You let the guys have a little bit of fun. Believe it or not, this is a game, and it could be fun. So let's let it be fun, right?
Yeah, there's fun in hockey unless you're the old Soviet Red Army team, and then there's no fun. But well, everyone else allowed to have a little bit of fun.
I just say, like, you're 8 wins away from the Stanley Cup. If you start getting hyper, ridiculous, hyper-focused on just that, you're just going to start to get into your head. Have a little bit of fun. It's okay.
And don't forget, you're 4 days away from even another game. I mean, it's not like they're goofing around at morning skate of game one.
Sure. Like, if morning skate of game one is two-on-two drills, then there's a problem. And let the guys have a little bit of fun.
And, you know, during the course of a game, you never know what might transpire. One of those two-on-two pairings that might be out there just might be out there for a breakaway or an odd man rush or something that you normally wouldn't think was going to be on the ice together. Yeah. And maybe they clicked on something yesterday that all of a sudden they do, and it turns into a game-winning goal or a tying goal or something. So, yeah, have fun. But like you said, it's also the intensity that was there as well. Well, the guy that Jonathan Marchessault was having some fun with today, Lucas Spezza, who it's really nice to see him back in the lineup. Chris caught up with him as well and asked him about that. What was going on out there with you and Marshall Salt? No, little horsing around.
The guy wouldn't leave me alone. I'm minding my own business, stretching. Comes over and, like, that's just who he is, you know. He's got to get under people's skin. And but it's a consistent battle with him. We play, first thing we do when we show up here, we have a mini basketball hoop in the trainer's room. So the chirping starts in there. Whoever wins, you know, has the upper hand. And then I think today he lost, so he gets a little, you know, he's a little mad about that. So all practice he has to come over and, like, you know, just pick on me. I'm like, leave me alone.
See, I thought he was demonstrating the way he took down Vlasic in that last series.
Yeah, he showed me his secret move. If something happens, just basically, you know, cover your face, your head, everything. But that was just fun.
After the LA series, you guys had about 9 days where you knew you were going to play San Jose. Now you're going to be playing on Saturday, and you won't find out who you're playing until Thursday night. You only really have that one day, not getting a full practice. Is that kind of a disadvantage in any way?
I don't think so, because I think right now we just focus on ourselves. You know, make sure your body heals whatever bumps and bruises you have. Make sure you take care of that stuff, because we do have a few days in between games. And then, you know, today was a work day. It was all about us going out there, working hard, being crisp, making good plays, good passes, and keeping those good habits going, you know. And, you know, and then tonight we'll sit back, watch the game. And they play tonight, right?
Tomorrow.
And you just see what happens. But so we're ready for either one of them.
So when you're preparing, is it more focusing on your game, or are you doing a little bit of maybe trying to simulate some of the things both of those teams do?
I mean, I'm sure the coaches right now, they're watching the games intensively and scouting both teams intensively. But for us right now, you know, it's all about us. Like, what do you need to do to, you know, get ready for that first game? And you don't have to go into details how they break out, how they do this and that. Because, I mean, you've played them plenty of times over regular season, so you kind of know their tendencies. It's not like they change up a bunch of things in playoffs. But it's all about the player himself and the team. Like, just make sure you're ready.
Then that last series, you were kind of going into it really unsure what your role was going to be, but now it seems like you're going to be in the starting lineup. So how do you prepare, you know, maybe differently for this?
I just prepare the same way as I always have this year. You know, I some tough bounces with injuries and stuff, and, you know, when I was injured or as soon as I was able to skate, I just put on my skates, go out there and work on my conditioning, this and that, and just try and be ready for whenever I get the call, and it's the same thing now. I think those first two games went pretty well. I mean, I was off for a long time, almost 10 weeks, so, but I just prepared myself like it was any other game. That's all you can do.
And boy, when you talk about a guy that was chomping at the bit and said that he was just preparing himself and wanted to be ready for the next game, was he ever ready for the next game? That was a guy that just was shot out of a cannon to hit back on the ice there. And I think he's happy to be back, and I know the Golden Knights and his teammates are happy to have him back.
And a guy that people like to talk to is when he walks into the room, he always gathers a crowd, and he's right there next to Nate Schmidt. So those two lockers, I'll give you a bunch.
He's another one of those guys, too. Have you guys ever seen him not with a smile on his face?
No, I mean he's one of the good guys to talk to when you really want something more than just a stock answer.
And yeah. It's amazing how excited the fan base was in Vancouver that he got selected. Like, I don't get that at all. That he was he's been great.
It's contract, his money, but
yeah, but he's been great for us. Yeah, I'll take him every day.
I certainly have enjoyed him here, and look for him to be here for a long, long time, hopefully. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We're going to wrap it up here. By the way, we got a special guest coming up the next couple of days. Mike Rupp is going to join us tomorrow. Our good friend Mark Savard will be joining us on Friday, and who knows who else might pop along or join the show as well. But when we come back, you know, one of the opponents of the Vegas Golden Knights could be the Winnipeg Jets. We'll find out after tomorrow night. Well, Blake Wheeler, their captain, after his their loss in Game 6, we'll tell you what he had to say about a Game 7 coming up. Always good to keep your sense of humor, even when things aren't necessarily going your way. Blake Wheeler will tell you what he had to say next. So wrap up the show here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Wrapping it up here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. On a Wednesday, getting ready for tomorrow night's clinching game to see who Vegas's next opponent will be in the Western Conference Finals. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman here with you. And you know, those teams competing tomorrow night, well, following a Game 6 loss to the Nashville Predators on home ice, Blake Wheeler was asked what he would have said if he had been told at the beginning of the season that his team would be facing a Game 7 with a chance to go to the Western Conference Finals. He thought for a minute, he looked at the interviewer and said, "I'd have given you a big kiss." He then paused for another second and said, "That's kiss, not a lick."
Oh, that's awesome.
So a little Brad Marchand shade throw-in. I like Blake Wheeler more, although I might not like him in a couple days if that's the team that we end up playing.
Did you guys see that Fluto Shinzawa reported this morning that Brad Marchand needs to, quote, look himself in the mirror and stop doing this expletive?
Brad Marchand said, "I need to cut that blank out."
Yeah, but yeah, but so like, we heard that last year. We heard that the year before then, and the year before then, and the year before then. Like, when is Brad Marchand actually going to do this? Because like, we've heard about it for 7 years now that he's going to do it, and he hasn't done it. So when is it going to happen?
I don't know. There's an awful lot of people that are going to quit smoking next week.
That's a good point.
All I know is that
Marchand just can't quit being a rat. He can't quit doing it.
All I know is when Boston comes to town next year, the second he hits the ice, I hope Johnny Greco has somebody queuing up Lick It Up by Kiss as he hits the ice.
Well, that's good.
That is good. I like
it. Very good. I like that.
All right. Well, you know who's also good? T.C. Martin.
Yeah, the doctor.
The doctor is up next. Thanks for tuning in. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. The doctor's next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great evening. And tomorrow we might even look at the hockey game.
Yeah, that'd be fun.